My name is Patty. I'm senior pastor here, and it's nice to see all of you in worship this day as we conclude this series that we've been in entitled You and Me Forever. It follows a bit of the book by Francis Chan and his wife Lisa, and he's got many other studies that I want to kind of pause, I guess, and kind of make have a commercial for you guys. And this is what it is. I don't know if you're aware, have connected, but I want you to be aware and I want you to connect. Right now, media is an opportunity that this congregation offers all of you. And here's what it looks like. The congregation pays every year for the opportunity to offer this. And so it's at no cost to every one of you. And if you call the office, you get a password, you get to sign on, and what it basically is it's streaming. It's really, it's a Christian Netflix that offers so many wonderful movies and shows and studies in your very own home that you can access. I also say I love it because they also have, they have many, many categories. One of the categories is kids, and so there are wonderful children's programs. I don't know if you know VeggieTales and some of the others that kids love today. Those are available, again, to you for free for just accessing this. I know that we have many grow groups that have been excited about the studies in there, and they've accessed many studies, whether from Andy Stanley or Francis Chan or any other number of well-known teachers. That's available to you. And also, if you've been inspired and want to continue to grow in your marriage as we conclude this series, there are a lot of marriage series that are also offered on there. Again, no cost to you. It's free Christian Netflix available to you now. As we conclude, I don't know if you had an opportunity to go into the gathering place. If you have not, I hope you'll go after the service. As many persons brought in their wedding pictures, it's been fun to see many of those. And if you have one up there, you can feel free if you want to take it today, or we'll be. You can pick those up in the office in the days ahead. And also, I just want to say that if you missed any of the series and you're curious, you want to catch up, we always archive those on our website, carmelumc.org, or you can access those on the Carmel app. In the first week when we began this series, one of the points that we wanted to make during the first week was this, that in our relationships, and I'd like to say we've talked about this series not only for marriages, the content is pertinent to all relationships, and I'd also like to say that those who have not married yet and are looking forward to marriage, this content is certainly very helpful. So the first Sunday of the series, we looked at focusing on Jesus. Reminding us to focus on Jesus in our relationship is what is most important. As we focus on Jesus, not only for the here and now, we also focus on what it means that we have eternal life and that we're all about eternal living. It's not just about the time that we have here on earth, because our eternal life is going to be a whole lot longer than this little bit here on earth. So it's focus on that. And also, finally, in concluding, say, just do something so that you can be living this out and realizing this. Realizing how God can be a part of your relationship and make a big difference. One of the things I love that has become popular recently during wedding ceremonies is that sand ceremony. I don't know if you've seen it. This is what it looks like. And the couple up on the altar, they always have just an empty clear vase. And then there are three small little containers. And one holds white sand. And then the other two each hold a different color. And so as we begin, I pick up the white sand and I explain the symbolism of that white sand. It's going to be a symbolism of God in their lives. And so I pour in the bottom of the vase first a layer of that white sand, because I want to remind persons that always God is to be the foundation of all of our relationships. So we pour that in first. And then I explain from there, as they live their lives together, to remember that they have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be a part, most important part, of their relationship. So then the three of us pour our white and colored sands in together, and it ends up like that, looking like that. It's very blended. And I think that's a beautiful reminder of the importance of beginning our relationships in Jesus Christ and then continuing to grow as a threesome. Week two of the series, we had special guests, Kristen and Danny Adams. They are YouTube lips sensationalists. If you miss that, you can access them on YouTube. They talk a lot about the importance of laughter in our relationships. They also shared their personal testimonies of how in their life, when they were living their life that was distanced from Christ, and when Christ became a center of their life, how their relationship changed. And they did talk about, as a part of that transition in their lives, one of the things they learned is that often in relationships, one thing that is important is to have a counselor for your relationship. I was thrilled that they mentioned that. They probably talked about a little more at the 9 o'clock offering than the 10:45. But I was excited because that resonates with one of the very first things that I talk to about to couples in my premarital session. And that is, I talk about what it means to take care of our marriage and what it means to understand that the difference between a wedding and a marriage. You know, the wedding is the day. The wedding is the service. And the marriage is your relationship that you have together forever. So my question is, what makes sense? Where should we put more energy, in the wedding or in the marriage? And, you know, honestly, I think that's a huge challenge that we have in today's world, because isn't the truth of the matter that in very many ways, at that point, we're pouring more into the wedding than the marriage, which is the preparation of our lives that we will spend together forever. So I try to drive this in a little bit more. So I ask you the question too. Raise your hands if you do anything that is preventative health care for your physical body. Anything, preventative health care for your physical body. Yeah, I'm assuming most everybody does today. Okay, then also, do you do any kind of preventative care for your teeth? Anybody do stuff? Yeah, see a dentist, brush your teeth, you floss? Yeah, we do all kinds of preventative care. So if I'm going to say that one of the most important earthly relationships that we have is our marriage, wouldn't it make sense that we would do preventative care for our relationships? Doesn't that simply make sense? I don't know that we always think about that, so I further explain that here's what that looks like, preventative care for our relationships. And look, I say to the couple, you know, I'd love you within your first 6 months when you're married, contact a counselor. Where do we do that? I'll make referrals, not a problem. And contact that person, that counselor, because you know what happens often when a couple is looking for a counselor, both persons don't always resonate with that person right away. Sometimes you have to shop around a little bit, and that takes time. The problem, if you wait to go to a counselor when you're in trouble, is you're losing time to make way through the problem that you're having. So you already have a relationship with a counselor that you both know that you can work with. And then you go in, and there's just that initial intake. It's, you know, the questions. The counselor gets to know each of you individually, gets to know how your relationship is going. And if everything's going really well, the counselor may say, okay, things are looking good, but we know that life changes. So when you hit some of those times in life, those bumps or just transitions, it's good to check in, because not everyone has all the tools to get through all that you will deal in your life together without some assistance. That's why there are professionals. Not everyone can do that alone. So when you're headed toward one of those times of transition or something happens, come and see me. Maybe you're going to have your first baby. Maybe there's a job change. Maybe there's some other, there's in-law issues that come up. I know there are never in-law issues, right? And so, you know, those are the kinds of times that we can't always figure our way through those, and we need someone. So have that relationship. Come back when you face those times, and the counselor will work with you to give you the tools that you need to deal with what is going on in your life, leading to assisting us to have the healthiest relationships that we can have, which is what God desires for us. The last couple weeks, or as a part of the series, we have videotaped each week one of the couples in our church that has been married for a number of years, significant number of years. We videoed the Kassenbaums and also the Hearst. So today I want to share a video with you of the Barretts. Will you watch that with me, please?
We were in a math class at Butler. And math is not my thing. So I was having a hard time, and Susan was in the class, and she offered to help me. And so I took her up on it and got me through the course. When it comes to marriage, of course you love the person. But really, what's a little more important is, do you like the person? What they are, what they stand for, values, things like that. So I love her and I like her.
He's always been my champion. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to, I think, leave those insecurities behind because of the things that he has said and done, and I love him for it. And yes, I like him, and we have some good times. For me, I think of washing dishes. There have been times when the children disappeared as soon as we said, it's time to pick up your plates and take them to the kitchen. And what we found through that was he would wash and I would dry. In doing something together like that, and you are bound to each other during that time, you can talk about anything that you need during the day because the kids have disappeared. And I would recommend that any young couple start out washing dishes together and continue it even though they think they don't have the time, because that gives you time to spend with your spouse.
That's right. God is love through Jesus Christ. There should be an anchor in everyone's life. It has worked not just for us, but for hundreds of millions of people for a long, long, long time.
55 years, going on 56. I think that's right.
Yeah, 55. You can tell by the top of my head.
Thanks to the Barretts for that time we had to spend with them. Another thing that I always share as a part of my premarital that I'm concerned with is the difference, the emphasis and the money and the time that goes into the wedding as opposed to the marriage. So I always remind the couples that the hours that I spend with them, if you look at how those are divided, that we spend much more time talking about the marriage than we do about the wedding. I kind of feel like I just need to touch bases with them about the wedding, but we really need to talk through marriage. And a part of that is always being reminded that this marriage is not just for the two of them, because in Ecclesiastes we are reminded that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And that's what I want folks to know as they enter into a time of marriage or any relationships that we have. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, that I want to share with you, just two verses. And I kind of often wondered if some of the emphasis in our weddings on a bridal gown, maybe, I don't know if this has come from here, but I share that scripture with you. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. So I don't know. I don't know if the whole concept of the bride wearing a, you know, white bridal gown came from this or reflecting that. I tend to think more they're talking about what's going on internally than what's going on externally. But I wonder if we have taken that from there. And certainly there's a lot of preparation on that wedding day for everyone, but especially also of the bride. And I have to say one of my favorite things, I always have a front seat when I conduct a wedding, because just to be able to be so nearby to see the face of the groom as he first sees his bride coming down the aisle is truly a very, very special moment that I always feel blessed to be able to see that close up. So, Apostle John wrote the scripture for Revelation. I really, as he mentioned this, being clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, I really don't think that he ever thought that talking about that perhaps being a gown was what he would hope would develop into a show, Say Yes to the Dress. I don't really think that's what he had in mind. And you know, I think that he would be shocked if he were here today, if he would see what we have done to weddings in today's world. So I thought it's going to be fun to take a look at what is a wedding in the 46033 zip code. So I'm figuring 46032 is going to be about the same. So here's what I discovered. Couples that live in Carmel, Indiana in this zip code spend an average of $28,000 to $47,000 on a wedding. Now, let's break that down according to the size of the wedding. We look at the size of the wedding. Well, you can have fewer than 50 guests, and you can spend only $12,000 to $21,000. Or you can have over 300 guests, and you get to spend $76,000 to $127,000. Isn't that fun? I don't know how many people are here that have girls, but you may be having a heart attack. But I have to tell you that those expenses do not include, in today's world, none of them include a honeymoon expense. None of those costs include a bachelor or bachelorette party, and I don't know how much you're in tune with what's going on with that today, but most of them are destination parties in today's world, so they're going to go to California or Vegas, and then none of those costs are in there are included if it's a destination wedding, maybe to Hawaii or the Caribbean or to Disney. So I honestly think that in many ways we've lost our way, and we've lost our way focusing on one day instead of focusing on eternity. And I don't know that that's what John intended as he wrote that scripture. So I think it's important that we, first of all, remember that the relationships that we have are intended to be the embodiment of a relationship with God. So what does that say to us? It says to us that marital relationship or any relationship is supposed to look like the relationship that God desires with each one of us. That's our goal, and that's what we're to strive for throughout our lives. Those relationships look like what God wants, look thus. And then as we live that way, what happens to those relationships is they become a witness to the world of what a relationship will look like with God. And so as someone looks in on our relationships, what they really see is they see the face of God as we look at one another. That's what God hoped for. But I'm going to make a jump here, and I want to talk about what happens kind of when marriages or relationships maybe become less than what God is hopeful for. And I want to take a look at, beginning with some words from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians, if you'll read along with me. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. And he did all this on his own, with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. So if I were to summarize that scripture, it tells us that he takes our sin-dead lives, our sin-dead relationships, and then says, well, that's not what you have to settle for. Let's look at another possibility. And I love that scripture because we read the first several verses, and then there's that little tiny word, instead. And that's where the message changes in there from Paul. It talks about ahead of time all the things that can be going wrong, the disobedience and the sin and et cetera in those relationships. And he talks about that, and he says, that doesn't have to be the final answer. Instead, let me share with you what are the opportunities instead when your relationships are grounded with the love of Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity that you have. There are these shows that have been around for about a decade, and they are, oh, it came up today. Thank you. Who would have ever thought in church you're going to talk about the zombie shows, right? Well, here, there's some of the popular zombie shows, and believe me, I didn't know about them at all until my son lived with me for a while, my adult son, and he's kind of into them, so I had to be, and listen to me, I had to be exposed to them, and I don't get them still, so I'm still trying to understand, but I know there are a lot of people who love them. Anyway, my understanding is zombies are fictional, and they're mindless flesh eaters, and so I think they are a metaphor for consumption. So I ask you, if we use this as a metaphor, how can this be a metaphor as it relates to marriage? Is there sin or something in our relationships, in our marriages, that really is destroying them, that they're being eaten alive? And the scripture we just read says, here are the possibilities, these zombies, what can happen, but here is an alternative. That's what we just read. So I ask, is this what God intended for a marriage to be? To be dead. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian marriage is being alive because of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit brings to us in our relationships, and that's what makes us alive in Christ. So let's take a look at the longer scripture lesson for today, and it's from the book of Ezekiel that's in the Old Testament. And to set it up a little bit, this is a conversation between God and the prophet Ezekiel. And it takes place in the time of history when Israel had been defeated by Babylon, and so all the Israelites were scattered away. They were living away from Jerusalem because they had been defeated. And so this is a message to persons who were living out in exile, what God wanted them to know. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. So God takes Ezekiel, sets him in a valley that is just full of bones. And he led me all around them. There were many living in the valley, and they were very dry. When I reflect on that very dry, I think that must be intended to be a picture of something that is very dead and dead for a long time. And he said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone." That must have been strange, right? "I looked, and there were sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them, so there was not any life there yet. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Now listen to these words that I think definitely speak to Israel, but speak to us. "Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we're cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." You know, probably all should pause and sing that song, Dem Bones, Dem, right? Dem, but, you know, yeah, you can sing those words, but here's the most important line of that song. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. And that's the beauty of what speaks into here is, you know, those dry bones could have been the end. Those dry bones can be the final answer, but it doesn't have to be, because if we listen to the message, hear the word of the Lord, and follow God, that can bring a different ending to that story. So I say, when our relationships, our marriage begin to look like dead, like zombies have been attacking them and eating them, God says, all's not lost. I hold the victory over any defeat, and God asks us to allow ourselves to be made alive in God, and that our relationships do not have to be that pile of dry and brittle bones. So, put it very simply, the Holy Spirit can move into the impossible situations that we have in our lives. So, the question I think we need to ask ourselves is, do we have enough of the Holy Spirit in us? And do you know, and do you connect with it? It's in there, but do you know it, and do you accept it, and do you connect with it? Because many times when we're weak and we feel like giving up, we might say the words, "I can't." But in Scripture, we're reminded that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When I think about those words, how the Holy Spirit can fill us, it makes me think of a Gatorade commercial. And I am absolutely certain that all of you have thought this about this Gatorade commercial too. And it asks, "Is it in you?" And then you see athletes that are performing absolutely amazing feats while Gatorade is sweating out of their pores. Now, I know you all of you have thought this about that commercial. I think it's a beautiful illustration of something that's fueling us from the inside that is so powerful that it's just pouring out of our pores. So it reminds me of a picture of the Holy Spirit. I know all of you thought that too when you saw that commercial. Positive. There are certain moments in a wedding ceremony that are always essential. The exchange of the rings and the exchange of the vows, and most often a short message is included in there. And typically, as I have an opportunity to get to know the couples, that most of that is a personal message directed toward them, what I learned about them and their relationship. But there's one piece that I typically, I probably have used in most all of the weddings that I've done, and I use it because I think it's true. And I use it because people usually chuckle, and I know what that chuckle means is that they know it to be true also. And so I begin reminding the couple that we would be burying our heads in the sand if we did not acknowledge that there are times in all of our relationships that there will be times of challenge. And there will be times when we will be angry, and there will be times when we will be hurt. And in many ways, it takes more faith to stay married than it does to get married. So oftentimes in very difficult times when both of you are weak and both of you are distracted, you're going to be called on to have more faith than you ever thought you could have. And there will be times when the absolute only one that you can trust is God. And I add that there will be days when the two of you will need to remind yourselves from where your love comes. Some days you'll sit across from one another at the breakfast table and you're sitting there, both of you, in all your morning glory. And someone thinks, eternity? Who said eternity? And that reminds us that none of us has that strength or patience or courage to find, to be able to sustain one another. That what is important is that the mystery of the Spirit of God, when we're invited into our relationships and when we give ourselves up to that, that's what would make a difference. And that's that threefold cord. I had a visual that my niece shared with me years ago. She shared me a story at school, and I happen to remember it as an example of this. My niece, their family is Catholic, and they attended Catholic schools, and what was a regular part of it, they had dances or proms or whatever, there'd be chaperones, and they'd kind of be stationed, you know, around the periphery. But any time, particularly when there was a slow dance, and if one of the chaperones saw somebody, it was maybe a couple, it was maybe just a little bit too close together, that chaperone would go over to that couple and kind of put their hand in between them and said, I need you to make room for Jesus. Now, when she first told me, we kind of chuckled, thought, oh, that is so corny, isn't it? But I know that they were trying to, you know, it's physical and that kind of thing. Well, but, you know, when you stop and think about it, isn't that a good visual for us? Because isn't that what we really need to do? Don't we need to make room for Jesus in our relationships? As corny as that sound, it kind of makes sense to me now. So how do we have these kinds of relationships and marriages that we're talking about that are really God-centered and God-like? And I think it's the only way to do that is we have to increase in the qualities or increase in our Christ-likeness. And so our relationships really are opportunities for discipleship. It's really an opportunity for us to grow in Christ in the way that we know Him and we serve Him and we worship Him. And when that's a part of our relationship, that's what God truly desires. And that's what prevents dry old bones. Want to finish up today with a story that was shared with me by someone. Her dad was 95 and mom was 96. They fell in love in the sixth grade, and so they had been married for 75 years, but they had been best friends for 83 years. And the mom's wife, her mind was slipping away. And she would often see her dad or the husband simply just sitting with her for hours at a time, and his hand would just gently rest on her arm. And so just kind of picture in your mind what that must have looked like. And I wonder what would go through his mind as he would sit there with her. What would it be like to reach out and to continue to touch that arm that had been beside him for 83 years. And I have to imagine that sometimes, in many ways, the time that he spent there was kind of almost like maybe flipping through a photo album. Maybe he was remembering. Now, remember, they met when they were little kids. So you, maybe he was remembering what it was like to be playing on the playground together, or what it was like falling in love, or becoming parent, or grandparent, or even great-grandparents. And I have to believe that mixed in there was other were other emotions that would come through, as he would remember arguments, tragedies, loss, and heartbreak. But I like to imagine them flipping to that final page, leading up, that's there on that back cover, where this would be the scene of the two of them finishing their life together, their earthly life together, knowing that their relationship would continue as an eternal life together into eternity. Christ came so that we would have life and have it abundantly, and that's what abundant relationships look like. We can overflow with more than Gatorade, and we have plenty to give others. And that's why marriage and relationships are intended for us to continually work on them and to continually grow in Christ right along the way. Because what happens is when we find our identity and we find our fulfillment in Jesus Christ, we become filled with the Holy Spirit and we become blessed with the fruits of the Spirit. And listen to what those fruits of the Spirit are in the book of Galatians to know that then those fruits will bless your relationship. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And all of those come to us when we connect with the Holy Spirit. So I say, Christ came so that we could have life abundantly in all of our relationships. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for the blessing that you are in our lives. And God, as we focus on relationships and marriages, and even looking, maybe even anticipating marriage, Lord, just pray that the information, the messages that we have shared throughout this experience may help all of us to grow and becoming more Christ-like individually and in our relationships. In the name of Jesus, amen.